A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rehm, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on April 22, 1990, in the series On Being an Easter People, entitled A Call to Significant Living, Resurrection, Tradition, and Freedom. The scripture readings are 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 7 and 50 through 58, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. The texts for the sermon are 1 Corinthians 15, verse 48, and chapter 3, verse 23. Please note that the original recording had very quiet sound quality. You may have to adjust your volume accordingly. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
On this Sunday after Easter, I want us to begin a series of messages on being an Easter people. And I want to take you back to some of the very important scriptures that have shaped us as Christ community. I hope that in the preaching and in the small group discussions that we will be self-consciously reflecting on our life together. And the Christian church is always a community that lives between the memory and its hope or anticipation. Church didn't fall down out of heaven out of the blue. It has a long tradition, and the church always remembers. That's why we come to the table of our Lord, because we're a community that continues to hark back, to remember that founding event, in Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. We also live toward the future and the consummation of the kingdom of God. We're a people, a community that lives between hope, between memory and hope. And I think in our community life together, it's important for us as well to, from time to time, engage in some self-critique. We have been, I believe, an intentional community. And that reminds me that that's the name of an article that I wrote for the Church Herald, which we distributed last Sunday. And if you didn't get one last Sunday, they are at the Growing Place, an intentional ministry. I didn't entitle the article that, but the editor entitled the article that on the basis of what the article said. And that's rather interesting because I like that. I think it has been true of us as Christ community. We've been an intentional community. We haven't just been lollygagging along for 120 years. There was a significant point at which, from a good and solid and faithful congregation of 100 years, this congregation made an intentional move, shaped itself intentionally into a very sharply focused vision. And the article that I wrote just recently for the April Church Herald dredges up a document that that we composed 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, that statement was the kind of the summation of what we had been becoming for 10 years. And now we're entering into the 90s, and it's time again for us self-consciously to say, who is God calling us to be? What shape must we become in order to be what God would have us to be today? And that is derived out of study of the Word of God, under the guidance of the Spirit of God, and through engagement with our world, with our culture, with the world to which we are called to minister, to witness. The Word of God and the world into which God calls us must constantly be interrelated as the church self-consciously designs itself and focuses itself for its mission in any given age or generation. And so I think it's good for us to reflect together on who we have been, why we have become what we are, and to determine what we need to modify, what we need to change, in order that we might become as effective an instrument as possible in the hand of God for the decade of the 90s, which will begin in another 7 months, and capture century 21, which is but a mere decade away. So, my intention is to reflect on some of those passages of Scripture. And I hope you may even yourself get into the study of the Scripture on Sunday morning, but also during the course of the week, in order that we might hear again those shaping passages that gave us focus, and determine whether that posture still holds, and where, in order to be true to our vision, we have to modify what we are. And Chairman Mao, you know, the Chinese communist leader, sent the Red Guards out occasionally to disrupt society totally. He said about every 5 years you've got to reconvert the people. That would be good for the church too. What we ought to have is about every 5 years, everything stop. Cancel everything. Cancel all committees. Cancel the consistory. I was going to say wipe out the consistory, but that would be too strong. We ought to just start over. We ought to set everything on its ear and just start over. This congregation 20 years ago had the marvelous experience of starting over. And maybe it's time for us to start over again. Would you like to be in on a fresh start? Wouldn't that be fun? If we just threw everything up in the air and to see how the pieces would come down today, in order that we might be as effective as possible in the hand of God to do the job that needs to be done today. Christ Community was born in resurrection faith. And that's why I'm starting at this point, on this second Sunday in Eastertide. We celebrated the event last Sunday. And I want to say that the celebration of Easter is, for me personally, very significant because it was the resurrection that was really the focus of my own study that preceded in the 4 years prior to my coming back here. It was the resurrection, a conviction about the resurrection that gave me a gospel to preach. I came back here in 71, very, very rusty. I could hardly get through a pastoral prayer, and I knew I had stuff for about 3 sermons, and after that, I didn't know where it was going to go. But it was the resurrection that was the center. This past week at the seminary in Holland, there was a German theologian, Wolfhard Pannenberg, and I went to hear his lectures and was honored to have dinner with him to reacquaint myself with him, because it was his work that I was studying 20, 24 years ago. And it was Wolfhard Pannenberg, who is still at the University of Munich in Germany, systematic theologian, who was a very significant a key to my own theological coming to time or coming around. Pannenberg lectured 3 times this past week down at the seminary, and if you missed it, you didn't miss anything. It's very heavy. Very, very heavy. He's gotten heavier. Not physically. I looked at him. He's disgusting, skinny guy. I looked at him, I said to Nancy, he's maintained his weight and I've maintained mine. All these 20 years. Lectures were very heavy. But 20 years ago, he was a part of a circle of scholars. Well, 30 years ago, a part of a circle of scholars at the University of Heidelberg in Heidelberg, Germany, who began again to talk about the resurrection. Now, that was an event, because for 100 years and more on the continent, no one spoke about the resurrection, because everyone knew in that post-Enlightenment world that dead people don't rise. And so German theology was an amazing effort to explain the Christian faith without the resurrection for nearly a century. And then as God would have it, you know, somebody comes along and somebody starts the ball rolling, and pretty soon, again, the resurrection became the center of focus. And that was the time I was there. I left for Europe in the wake of the death of God theology. Remember that? What was it? Time magazine, Easter 1963, I think. Black cover, God is dead. Well, that's not the first time nor the last time that time was wrong. But that spoke about where the culture was. And when I went over to Europe in the middle 60s, and I heard about the things going on in this country, remember the 60s, some of you? Remember the church in the 60s, the difficulty? Remember the campuses? Remember the social upheaval and the unrest? Some of you perhaps were children of the 60s. You've just barely come around. Maybe. Not altogether. I hope not altogether. But when I was over there, they were predicting the demise of the church. Remember that? Honest to goodness, this was a model. Will the church be alive in 75? When I came back to this congregation, that was a model that was going around. Will the church be alive in 75? The parish church was supposed to be passé. It was out. Maybe little informal groups, house groups, whatever it may be, but congregational life was just about out. So for me, the resurrection always has a very personal ring, because it was at that point that my own study released me to have a gospel to preach and to come back with something to share. Came back here in my own personal brokenness, desperately needing a word of hope, but came back here in all of that mess, hopeful, because I had been so focused on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So in a real sense, Christ community was born in Easter faith. And as a matter of fact, the church is born in Easter faith. Now, it's true that we are simply the people of God ongoing, and Israel was the people of God, and there's continuity with Israel. And there's a sense in which Pentecost is spoken of as the birthday of the church, a sense in which that is true. But if you want to really know, the church was born out of the resurrection. It was out of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that the church came forth. And the call to commitment in the 58th verse of 1 Corinthians 15, be ye therefore steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That call to commitment to the Christian community was based on the resurrection from the dead. Now we know that all that is good and all that is true and all that is beautiful and all that is done in the name of God and for the goodness of humankind, all of that is not in vain, that it won't come to nothing, that it will have eternal significance, that God will gather it all together when God's kingdom comes. That was the thrilling realization of that early Christian community. Paul, summarizing his long discussion in the last paragraph of this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, speaks about the triumph of the Christian. The triumph of the Christian over death and the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. People going about facing this unknown, this scary reality called death. And why are they so scared about it? Because all of us know that none of us has done it well. All of us know that if we come before the judgment seat of God, we'll have nothing to say. All of us know that our conscience accuses us because we are flawed, we have failed. And we know that if we are going to live by that law, by that requirement, by that heavy demand, that it's never enough. It's never enough. You never satisfy the law. And so the scariness of death is sin, and the power of sin in our lives is the law that keeps condemning us. And now Paul says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why thanks be to God? What's the victory? The victory is now that in my hopeless human condition, I know that God has done something to reverse it all. I know now that grace is the last word. I know now that something has been done in the midst of the world, in the midst of the cosmos, an act of Almighty God for the transformation of the world and for the transformation of my life. Thanks. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now on that basis, get off your duff and get going. Not in order to curry God's favor. Not in order to engage in some little religious activity, to go through some rituals, to do this, to do that, to fulfill some heavy obligation, to give some grudging assent to duty, in order that maybe finally in the end God might be satisfied. No! God is satisfied. God is satisfied. There is one righteous. As in Adam all died, so in Christ all are made alive. God is satisfied with Jesus. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why, my goodness, folks, that sets one's feet to dancing, one's tongue to singing, one's soul to praising. That's what Easter's all about. And it was out of that that the church arose. It was on the basis of that the call to commitment came to go into all the world. Tell the world this good news. And it was out of that context that we were born. And I was rereading last evening the back of our bulletin that was written about 20 years ago. That was a kind of identity. Posture statement of what we were hoping to become. We wrote that in faith. We wrote that as a visionary statement. But it was based on the resurrection, on the reality of Easter, and the fact that the church is an Easter people, that the first day of the week is the Lord's day because Jesus arose on the first day of the week and the worship moved just spontaneously from the Sabbath to the first day of the week, because how can you help but worship on the first day of the week? When Dawn leads us in prayer, I am led to the throne of grace. She always does it so meaningfully. But I have to admit this morning that she made Sunday morning for the world sound so attractive, I almost took off my robe and went home to wash the car. I mean, it sounded good, you know. Get up, put your bathrobe on, get the paper, drink a little coffee. Sunday morning today, and to salve the conscience, 10 minutes of Schuller. And then go out and wash the car. That's not bad. I got my glasses out this morning, peered out on the lake, and I saw these fishermen. Absolutely no surf, smooth as glass, fishermen going down the lake, trolling. And I said, oh God, may the fish not bite. And I said, oh God, if a fish does bite, may it be moldy with mercury and PBBs and whatever. And may they not enjoy themselves at all. No, Don's prayer was right. There are people. Good people. Wonderful people. People God loves. And today, they're going to have a wonderful day. The coffee and the free press and a round of golf and a clean car. And not a moment of transcendence. Not a goosebump because of the reality of the resurrection. Never having it called to their mind that this whole world is different. And that human destiny was changed. And that bright morning when God in mighty power raised Jesus from the dead. I thank God for Sunday morning in celebration of the resurrection. That throughout the week, I can live humming the tune every morning is Easter morning from now on. I thank God for the transcendence that has penetrated my very pleasant horizontal human existence. And it was an exciting experience to sense the rebirth of a congregation with an identity of being Easter people. We changed our name in order to bring the changes on that new image and that new self-understanding. And the First Reformed Church of Spring Lake became Christ's community. Christ's community. Because we read in Paul's letter to the Corinthians about how the church got divided. Some said, I'm of Paul, others, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter. There was even a Jesus party. And Paul said to them, look, Christ is the foundation. All things are yours. Paul is yours. Apollos is yours. Cephas is yours. Things present are yours. The world is yours. Life is yours. Death is yours. The future is yours. All things are yours. Why do you get so cribbed and cramped and live in this little narrow rut? Why don't you realize that because of Easter, all things are yours, every great tradition? Paul was saying, in effect, it is a sin to be Pauline or Petrine or Apollinarian. He was saying, in effect, it's a sin to be Lutheran or Calvinist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox. Do you hear it? Paul was saying, it's wrong. And 20 years ago, we said, that's wrong. And the future doesn't lie in all of these little narrow ruts in which people line up to sing their own little praises and gaze on their own denominational navels. Because the future is not there. The future is in a band of disciples who are Jesus people, who will go out and turn the world upside down like they did in the first century in the wake of the resurrection. What a world there is out there. And it's about time we get out of the church again and into the world. What needs to be done here? And who of you will do it? Who of you will see to it that we get that senior citizen care facility underway so that we can say to our people, we will care for you until we bury you? Who of you will take advantage of that which is coming on the horizon so strongly now, daycare, so that if children are not having all of the nurture and all of that that the home once provided, at least we could provide a place where Jesus' love permeates them from 8 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock at night. Who of you will do it? Who of you will see to it that Christ's community continues to be a catalyst and a model and a challenge, not building here some institution, but being here a people with a passion for Jesus and the world. Commitment. In the light of a whole new world responded to by an Easter people. And that's where it is. You know, you can endure anything. You can meet any obstacle. You can go through any tragedy, endure any suffering. If only your life means something. And I'll tell you, Jesus calls us the rich meaning, significant purpose draws the best out of us. Aren't we a lucky people? An Easter people indeed. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.